This is Personal Finance Mastery, Episode 2.
This is the Personal Finance Mastery Podcast, where you'll discover how to master your personal finances, build true wealth, and enjoy a more fulfilling and prosperous life. Learn to plan for your future and create your own wealth away from the shackles of a job. Here are your hosts on a mission to set you free and teach you the tools to creating true wealth.
Welcome to the Personal Finance Mastery Podcast, where you're going to learn how to achieve financial freedom and design your ultimate life. I'm Adam.
I'm Darla.
And I'm Peter. In today's episode, we're going to go ahead and talk about our three paths to debt freedom. The three of us, each at one point or another, have been drowning in debt and have had to climb out of it on our own. And so we each chose three unique methods to get out of debt. We're going to go ahead and talk about them and share how that happened. Well, I guess I'll begin with mine and how I got into debt. Put simply, my debt can be explained in that I was seduced by the idea of what I thought wealth was. And I guess it must have been the coolness factor or the popularity I felt by spending money. I felt that, having listened to Psycho-Cybernetics, I see maybe that it was a lot of my self-image where I needed approval, outside approval from people. I felt that if I spent money on people, or if I was the guy that we all went out to dinner and I picked up the tab, or we all went out to drinks and I picked up the tab, or if I was the one that was spending the money, everybody else would like me. And that was addicting. It was that high of, oh, well, hey, thanks so much, Pete. You know, I was really cool of you. That's great. Go out with Pete and he's going to have a great time. You have a lot of fun, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I fed off that approval, I guess, looking back on it. And so I just kept spending. And I kept spending and spending and spending. And I was spending money like crazy, left, right, and center. And it was this vicious cycle of debt and then work, the rat race that I always call, to try to finance this lifestyle that I couldn't afford. I was making a five-figure income, but spending like I was making six figures, put simply. And obviously that can't be sustained indefinitely. Sooner or later, you know, it's going to all come crashing down. It was just a house of cards ready to explode at any one moment. And even looking back on it, when you add up all my debt between my car, my credit cards, personal loans, everything else like that, I had over $80,000 in consumer debt. That's just credit cards and my car. $80,000. Unsustainable. At that moment, my minimum payments were almost my entire income. Just to finance my debt was my income. I was working to pay Visa. I was working to pay MasterCard. And then the incident happened. What I call the incident. With a certain bank that will remain nameless. But put simply, I sent a payment in 2 days late. I hadn't realized that the due date had changed. And so I just made the payment the way I always was. And I admit, you know, this is just as much my fault as anything else. I was not very involved with my finances. I wasn't involved in my debts. And I just, in fact, try to deal with them as little as possible. And so I knew my due date was, and so I sent my payment in, and that's how I always did it. Well, I hadn't realized that my due date had changed, and so I had made the payment based on what used to be the day I had to pay it. All of a sudden, I got charged a late fee, but since I don't pay attention to my finances, or I didn't at that time in my life, I didn't realize that I had a late fee. So then the following month, I make my payment again. Not only is it late, but I made my minimum, what used to be my minimum payment, which had now grown because of the late fee. And so then, of course, that I once again not only get another late fee and more payment, and this little cycle started building up for about 3 or 4 months of late payments and fees, late payments and fees, before I finally realized what was going on. Because I only checked it, you know, every few months and actually sort of logged in and looked at what was going on. And once I did, I was shocked. I was like, oh my gosh. And so, you know, I called the bank up and tried to figure out what we can do, you know, to deal with this. And stop this from becoming this snowball effect of getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Now, this was back before the current economic crisis was happening, and the bank didn't want to talk to me. They didn't want to make any deals with me. And I can still vividly, in my mind, to this day, years later, still remember the bank person on the phone talking, saying to me, "Well, yes, Mr. Serrano, we've seen you've had excellent record with us for 6 years, but there's nothing I can do for you. You made a late payment, and we're not going to reverse the fees." Well, at that point, the situation exploded and started spiraling out of control. I became overwhelmed with these fees and these costs, and my debt load at this bank, you know, exploded. My minimum payments between not only this bank, but then all my other, you know, credit cards and loans that I had going on, which was already, I was already at the tipping point. I was already at almost my entire paycheck going to pay for my debts. Now it just bubbled over. I was now spending more money on minimum payments than I actually was making. I was actually cash advancing another credit card to pay this credit card. And the situation just, it became a nightmare. It spiraled out of control. I was overwhelmed with stress. I had harassing phone calls who were calling me all the time. And, you know, bills all the time in the mail coming in with late payments, past due, stamped on the bill itself at that time. So I knew what it was. I had these phone calls coming in to me, you know, with people saying, "Oh, hey, your payment's not due. You got to make your payment." And they were yelling at you, and they'd say horrible things. So I don't know if anybody's ever had to go through a collection agency or have a collection agency call you. But let me assure you that they treat you and they make you feel like you're the scum of the earth, that you're the bottom of the barrel, that you're the worst person in the world. And they will attack you personally on the phone there. You know, it's bad enough that I wanted to make my payments. I wanted to pay my bills. But here they are calling me all the time and getting letters all the time and hounding me and harassing me. And it was a form of abuse, really, looking back on it. I was so stressed out. I was overwhelmed. And nobody wanted to work with me. I tried calling the banks. I tried making payment plans. I tried making arrangements. But nobody wanted to deal. And so I kept falling further and further behind. The situation became worse and worse and worse. And I finally got to a point where I was left with no alternative but to file bankruptcy. And that was a very difficult decision for me. It was a very personal, very difficult decision. And it took a lot of thinking. It took a lot of thought before I could make that decision. And I finally had no choice. I mean, really, when it came down to it, my choices were, do I eat or do I pay Visa? Is it my health or Wells Fargo? And I refused to accept those kinds of scenarios. I refused to accept that choice. And so it kind of led me into what's called the hierarchy of needs, which is a financial, in personal financial planning, they talk about your hierarchy of needs. You have your most important expenses first. And those have to do with yourself, taking care of yourself, which would be your food, shelter, clothing. And there's things like that, darling?
Yeah, and transportation. You know, all the things that you need in order to get yourself to work and bring home an income.
And that's the first tier of the hierarchy, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. And then after you have your basic needs met, then you can start working on your goals. Like if your goal was to get out of debt, that would be your next step. You'd find out, okay, this is how much money I need to take care of myself with food, shelter, clothing, transportation. And then this is how much money I have left. And then this is the amount of money I can use to meet my goals.
Exactly. And that's how I started looking at it in life. And at that moment, my mindset changed. I realized that I needed to take care of myself first. I needed to eat. I needed to have food. I needed to have shelter. I needed to have clothes. I needed to have a car and pay for transportation to get to work so that I could pay my bills and have extra money. And then anything left over, then yeah, I could devote that to the bills. The banks didn't want to deal with that. They didn't want to listen to me. They didn't want to talk to me. They kept harassing me, and they kept calling me, and they kept trying to pressure me into making payments. And I told them, you know, that I remember one collection company calling me, you know, yelling at me on the phone and trying to hard pressure me to pay. And I said, you know what? Your credit card it doesn't get paid this month. I'm sorry. And he was, I think he was a little shocked when I told him that, and he'd expected me to try to make a, you know, a plea or to beg him for more time or something like that. And I just said, yeah, well, you know what? I have my expenses that I got to pay. I have X amount extra to pay for the bills. And this month, your credit card didn't cut it. You don't get it. And if you keep yelling at me, I'm going to make sure the next month your credit card doesn't get into the list either. So either you hang up and I'll pay you when I can pay you, or that, 'cause that's it. There's no other alternative. And I remember that guy just like sitting there in silence. I think he was a little bit in shock because of that. And I started to use the hierarchy of needs on my finances. And when I finally had no other alternative, I did file bankruptcy. And my debts got wiped out, and I had to start from scratch.
Well, what type of bankruptcy did you file? Chapter 7 or Chapter 11?
I was able to file Chapter 7.
Which means?
All my debts were wiped out.
You don't have to pay anything back.
Nothing else. Start over. This was before all the new law changes and everything else went into effect that really changed the way it is now. Now, today, it's very, very difficult to get a Chapter 7. You have a lot of, you know, hoops and hurdles you have to go through. And I think most of the times they actually try to get you into a, is it Chapter 11 or Chapter 13?
Maybe it's Chapter 13.
I think it's 13 now, that you, essentially they give you a 5-year payment plan that you have to go through. You still pay your debts back, or at least what can be paid in 5 years based on what the court assigned, but you're still going on a payment plan. And then after 5 years, whatever gets paid is whatever gets paid. And then after the 5 years, any remaining debt gets wiped out. Now, for me, though, at the time, I was able to do a Chapter 7, in which liquidated all my debt, and I started from scratch. I basically, the next day after that was all finally done with, I had no debt. I had zero debt. And I had to start everything from scratch. Obviously, at that point, nobody wants to give you credit. Nobody wants to extend anything to you.
That's right. What happened during that bankruptcy, though? What do you say? They kind of owned you almost, the court system. And,
Oh, yes.
They had control, you know, basically of your bank accounts and, you know, any money coming in and things like that. And so, you know, your privacy's really opened up.
Oh, yeah. Your privacy's gone at that point. The moment you start the filing process, you essentially, basically what's happening here is you are submitting yourself to the court. You're prostrating yourself to the court and saying, hey, you know what, I can't handle this. Please help me. Please take care of me. And the court steps in. And they stop the creditors. They issue the injunction stopping the creditors. And essentially, the court takes over your finances. I can't even remember the term right now. It's been so long. But
arbitrator.
Arbitrator. I think that's what it is. Yeah, the arbitrator essentially takes over your bank accounts. And takes over your assets, and they have sort of like a power of attorney over everything you have, and they determine what of your assets you can keep, what would be liquidated if it needs to get liquidated, and they determine the debts that would be paid if not be paid, and they make that final decision if you go into Chapter 13. If you file Chapter 13, then your checks are made to the arbitrator, and the arbitrator turns around and disperses the funds to the creditors. But in my case, I was able to get a Chapter 7, so I didn't have to go through that aspect of it. But yeah, I mean, you lose all privacy. The court ends up taking over your finances and makes that determination on whether or not you can file bankruptcy or not. So bankruptcy is really the option of last resort. It really takes a lot of thought before you go down that path. It's a very difficult path. There's a lot to think about. There's a lot of repercussions, long-term repercussions, in terms of getting credit again. I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, you know, even now, these years later, with the businesses that we have and rental properties that we have through our businesses that we have that own them and stuff like that, I still probably couldn't get a credit card. I don't even know if I can get a credit card. I don't use credit for my personal debt anymore at all. Everything personally I pay cash for. The only debt I have is through my businesses and through my investments. I only use debt, what I call good debt, that is debt that's going to make me money, debt that's being paid for by somebody else, debt that comes through my business, and it's the only time I ever use debt anymore. So I wouldn't even know how it would happen if I tried to get debt on a personal level. I don't even think I could, even after all these years. And so there are these long-term repercussions that you need to realize that are going to happen if you go down the bankruptcy path. But if you get to the point where you're butting against those hierarchy of needs, and you're finding yourself cutting, you know, you're skipping a meal or you don't have enough money to pay for your rent or for your housing to pay Visa, at that point, when you're butting the hierarchy of needs, then that's when bankruptcy becomes a real option, I think, because you need to take care of yourself first. You have your own personal survival needs need to come first, always, before any creditors or any banks.
Do you regret filing bankruptcy?
No.
No, not at all?
Not at all. I don't like living my life looking back on things that I could have done or should have done or maybe might have, would have done differently, because I'm very happy with my life where it's at today. And I look forward to the future. I'm very excited about the future. While my past has had ups and downs and good times and bad times, it's made me who I am now. I wouldn't change that.
Well, I think it's what you get out of it, too. If you're going to claim bankruptcy and fall into the same path of destruction, then you're not doing anything good. But because, you know, you have good money management skills.
Well, yeah, it did change. It changed my life. Now I don't use debt anymore, personally. I changed my whole life. It got me because when I hit that bottom, I had to rebuild myself from scratch. I decided to change my whole world, both personally and financially. I got into becoming a business person, building businesses, investing, all sorts of these different aspects, personal development, changing my mindset, changing to a more positive outlook on life. I changed everything about my life. So coming out of it, I'm a much better person today than I was before my bankruptcy. I mean, before I was about drinking, partying, having fun, spending money, you know, living a life I couldn't, you know, living a lie. I think a lot of that stems from some issues in my past that, my dad passed away when I was very young, and I've always been trying to run away from problems and didn't want to deal with things, and, you know, alcohol and drinking and all that got into the picture, but all that changed after the bankruptcy. I was a new person. I was a different person, dedicated and motivated to making the world a better place, to helping others, being of service to others, and having a more positive outlook on life. So, not at all. I don't regret the bankruptcy in any way, shape, or form, because I'm a better person now than I was before.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that the bankruptcy has made you a better person. Now, in terms of my story, I had been married before. We had accumulated a lot of debt, like over $70,000 just in consumer debt, meaning credit cards, cars, a timeshare that we bought. These are all like really stupid things to spend your money on, but nevertheless, that's what we did. We racked up all this debt, and we decided that we're going to try and get out of debt, and the best way for us to do that was to move out of state. See, at the time, we were living in California, and we were making really good money, but a lot of our money was going to taxes and, you know, just trying to make our minimum payments and our house, everything like that. And we basically found that we could have a similar income in Texas, but our cost of living would be lower. So we ended up selling our house in California and moving to Texas. And while we did that, we were able to pay off a good portion of our debt. And then 3 months after moving to Texas, we ended up getting divorced. And I left him, and pretty much I came back to my parents' house, and I had to learn how to support myself on my own. And at that time, I had a $30,000 student loan, $10,000 left on my Mustang, and then I had to take care and pay for the timeshare that we bought, which was, you know, over $13,000. Plus, I had, like, small credit cards here and there that added up probably to about $5,000. So, all in all, I had a lot of debt. And basically what I did to get out of debt was I got myself a job. And I sat down and I looked at all of my debt. And I listed the the dollar amounts of each debt and what the minimum payments were for each debt. And basically what I did was I chose which credit card I was going to pay off first, and I would pay all the minimum payments on everything else except for that one credit card. So I was doing what was called the debt snowball method. And it worked. It got me out of debt. It took a couple years, but I got out of debt. And the other thing I did was I used any kind of bonuses, any kind of overtime, any money I got back, tax refunds. I took all of that money and I paid it towards the debt just to get completely rid of the debt. That's what I did. And then the other thing I did was I sat down and I looked at my spending habits and I figured out how much I should be spending on shelter, on food, on clothing, on transportation, on utilities, based on the amount of money that I had coming in.
Now, where did you get the percentages that you should spend on that?
I looked up on Yahoo Finance, and basically there's like, they have recommendations for like how much you should be spending on housing, food, all that stuff. And I looked at the percentages and I converted those percentages into dollar amounts based on my income. And then I found a very, very useful tool, online budgeting program, that really helped me gain control of my finances and to make sure that I was doing what I said I was going to do, which was, you know, pay all the minimums on every credit card except for the one I was trying to pay off. And then I'd put a couple hundred dollars more towards that credit card. And this online program that I use is called Envelopes. And if you like to check out Envelopes, you can go to www.personalfinancemastery.com/resources. And you can see Envelopes on there. And I also have a blog written about Envelopes that I will link with this
We'll put those links into the show notes for the Envelopes and then also for the blog review you did
On envelopes.
Yeah. We'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Now, basically, that program, I mean, I absolutely love that program because it really helped me, you know, take control of my finances. And it showed me each time when I overspent in a category. And so, like, I was aware of these things and then I can make little adjustments, you know, as I needed to. Because, you know, when you sit down and you make a budget or a financial forecasting plan, as I like to call it, you're not going to get it right the first time. In fact, you're probably not going to get it right the first month, the second month, or the third month. It may even take
you... It's an evolution, really.
Yeah, it really is. It might take you 6 months. You know, things change, and especially with inflation today. I mean, the cost of food and gasoline has gone up, so those are things that you need to account for when you're putting together a budget.
It's a something that you have to adjust for
Yeah,
sure
you
every
have
month,
to adjust every month.
Today's economy, like you were saying.
Exactly.
Gas prices jump every day, you know, it's like a couple of cents, so.
Yeah, but I mean, having that program, it allowed you to see, like, what your discretionary cash flow was, what you could spend, you know, after you paid all of your bills. So that's what really helped me get out of debt. And, you know, to this day, I still use that program. I love it. I've used it now for 5 years. The Envelope system, 5 years. I am dedicated, loyal customer of Envelopes. So that's how I got out of debt, you know, using the debt snowball and using Envelopes. How about you, Adam?
Mine is more of like a reckless spending habit from a young age when I started making some pretty good money, but found out that it really doesn't matter how much you make. It's about how much you keep because, like I said, I was spending much more than I was making. So going deeper into credit card debt every day, you know, I had 9 cars by the time I was 21. I took vacations to Europe, to Cabo, to Cancun, Hawaii, you know, all over the place, and truly couldn't afford them. Everything just went on credit card. I'll say, I'll pay it off later. What's $1,000? What's, you know, $1,500 here? And it's not that big of a deal. That's like a, you know, half a paycheck, but not, you know, putting it into reality when I got to pay other bills. I'm not thinking. Definitely thinking irrational for a long time. And then it wasn't until one day when I really sat down to look at my finances when I wanted to go buy a house. I was looking back at my 6 months bank statements, and I spent more than I made for the last 6 months. And the mortgage broker kind of laughed at me. He's like, what am I supposed to do with this stuff? This is horrible. You're just showing you're spending more than you're making, and you know, debt-to-income ratio is horrible. And so these, you know, I started thinking about my reckless spending and all that and how I could cut that out. So, and also, you know, like Pete was talking about, going to the bars and drinking and feeling that, I guess, high from taking your friends out. I was one of those guys, too. We all go to the bar to get some drinks, and I'd pay for everybody for dinner and the drinks and all that. And it was a really empowering feeling. You know,
it is like a high. It's an empowering feeling, and where it's, I mean, lack of a better wording for it, it's like you're trying to buy love in some ways. You're trying to buy their admiration. You're trying to buy their love. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, I got that. I'll take care of this. Round's on me. And
yeah, you're trying to buy their friendship.
Yeah.
Kind of. It's like, you know, in your own head, you maybe don't think that they'll be friends with you if mm-hmm. you stop this kind of spending habit. You know, because it almost becomes an expected habit. It's like, hey, you want to go out tonight, you know? And yeah, well, you know, they figure it's on you after going after down while, that path. Yeah. Right. It just kind of becomes, I guess, customary. But, you know, that only gets you into debt. So it's not smart, you know. So I guess I looked at my finances and realized everything I'm spending on is all there's no assets I'm putting, you know, in my name. Everything is a liability. So whether it was buying a car or going on vacation or, you know, buying these different doodads, it was putting me deeper in debt and I wasn't getting anywhere. My money wasn't working for me. It wasn't making me any money. It was just spending it and paying. You know, I could barely keep up with my minimums on my credit card, and I was almost on the verge of claiming bankruptcy as well. But what saved me, I think, was when I went to go buy the house and kind of redid everything. Never was on a budget before. I sat down and put myself on a budget, and I realized how much I'm spending on food, which was outrageous. It was almost my whole paycheck going out to eat or going out to get drinks, and realized where I needed to cut out these extra expenses that I had. And one big thing was, too, I had a storage unit that I forgot about, and realizing that this thing was, I think, cost me like $130 a month, and I forgot about it for a couple years, and one day I was trying to cut out all these expenses, these unneeded expenses, and realized...
All these little extras, $100 here, $50 there, $20 here, all these little charges that you forget about.
Right. So, in essence. Exactly. So automatic payment, all my little automatic payments through the gym, you know, these different automatic payments coming out, what are they? You know, so I'm going through all these things and realized one was the storage unit. Well, you know, storage unit cost me, I think it was $131 a month, and I paid it for 2 years, and I'm like, what's even in that thing? So, you know, I go down there and look at it, and I'm like, I don't need this thing, and kind of doing the math on it, and I spent a couple thousand dollars on something I didn't even need. You know, it's a whole junk. And I realized, well, I could either donate to that stuff and had a write-off and not had that expense and invested that and made, you know, tens of thousands of dollars over those couple of years, you know, through the donations or if I sold the stuff in there. And these little things like that, you know, help you to realize, you know, the decisions you're making. And if you get rid of those things, it helps you to get out of debt. And that's really what helped me get out of debt.
Well, I think, I mean, it's those little expenses that – maybe in and of themselves, by themselves, don't make all that big of a difference, but they all add up over the long term. I think actually, you know, Darrell and I just had one not too long ago that we realized we had Netflix. Mm-hmm. They were spending $15 a month. $15 a month, that's nothing. You don't even think about it. But I asked Darla, when was the last time you watched a movie from there?
Like a year ago?
A year ago was the last time you watched a movie. So for the last year, we've been spending $15 a month for absolutely nothing.
Or what about our cable? Like, our cable bill's, you know, $120 a month, and we never watch TV. Never. That was another expense, got rid of.
All these little things add up, and you add up for years and years and years. You just spend them almost because you feel like you have to. You feel like you have to have a TV. You feel like you have to have cable. I don't know why. Almost like we're brainwashed to have these things. We're expected. We feel bad if we don't somehow. But if you don't use it and you don't need it, why are you spending money on it?
It's almost like nowadays having a house phone.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like almost like, what's the point of having a house phone? I mean, your cell phone can cover pretty much everything, you know, if you have a cell phone. And mm-hmm. 99% of people do. So it's kind of like it just feels, you know, you've always had it. So why get rid of it?
It's always been there. So you need to have it, but you don't. And those are, it's those kind of expenses, those kind of things that you can cut out that's really going to make a difference, and that's going to save money. And this extra money, that's stuff you could put towards your debt. Mm-hmm. And using kind of that snowball effect where you're paying off debts and all this extra money that would have gone to, you know, stupid little things that you don't really need can now go to paying down that debt, wiping that out. And once your debt's gone, then that you can still use that money and put it towards investments and growth.
So, Adam, how did you get out of debt? How did you stop the process?
Stop the snowball?
No. Stop the snowball. Going in the wrong direction.
Well, like I said, cutting out those unneeded expenses, but also, you know, I needed to make more money as well. So, you know, working at my job at that time, I just did more overtime. There's actually a lot of overtime available, and just kind of had that sacrifice, you know, sometimes working 20-hour days. But making double time or time and a half, you know, really helped to help me pay down those credit cards and pay down those loans that were outstanding. And so that was a kind of relief, you know, in the middle of it when you're working the overtime, you're kind of like, oh, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. But when you get that paycheck, it feels really good to put that extra money towards those stresses in your life, because mm-hmm. that little bit of extra time at work, it, you know, definitely outweighs that horrible stress that you have from that debt. And
it's a little, you take a little extra step towards that light at the end of the tunnel when you'll be completely debt free and you'll be happy and you won't have that stress anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So like I said, in the beginning, it's not about how much you make, it's about how much you keep.
That's because, what's so,
you know,
important.
You can make six figures and spend six and a half, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and that was my problem. I wasn't making bad money. I just was spending too much money. So that was one major way I cut it down. And like I said, getting rid of all those extra expenses. I made a decision. I had leased a car when that came up. I was going to lease another one. And I figured, you know what? I want to have a paid off car. I want to have no more expenses than I need. And so I actually ended up just buying that car outright and just keeping that car. So those little decisions, I stopped going on vacations, you know, every 3 months and, you know, save up for them. Don't finance them. Pay cash for them. That was a huge thing.
It's a big change in your mindset, and it takes a big change to go from finance your lifestyle to paying cash for your lifestyle.
That's right.
But it feels so good when you come back from vacation and you don't have this mountain of debt that you just racked up, you know? And I know what that feels like to come back from vacation and be like, oh, God, now I have to go to work to pay off the, you know, thousands of dollars I just spent on my trip. Right. You know, come back home and now I can start saving for my next vacation.
Exactly. Now it's all even different having, you know, being entrepreneurs and going on vacation was a business trip and, you know, talking about business freeing your mind and trying to get out of the everyday stress. And so that vacation becomes a write-off. So mm-hmm. it's even better.
I mean, I think everything we don't even take vacation or using that word. There is no vacation. As an entrepreneur, as investors, you know, our mind is always on the clock, so to speak, in some ways. We always have workcations, everything we do, because we're always talking about business. And we're always sitting down and planning our next business or talking about our current business or talking about an investment we can get into or our current investments. And we're all, you know, this is just, our mind's always working, finding opportunity. The world is filled with opportunity, and we're always finding it and searching for it. And so now everything we do now is a workcation.
Yeah, I mean, it's really simple to, you know what you need to do. You know, you need to pay cash for everything. Don't use debt. Don't use your credit cards. But it's not easy. It takes a lot of hard work. I mean, you're changing your behaviors. You're changing...
New habits are hard to learn.
Yes, exactly. But, I mean... They take time.
Yeah, by no means did this happen overnight for
either one
of us.
This is a long, hard, slow 20 process.
20-minute, you know, yeah. quick synopsis on what happened, but really it was years of
months and months
trial
and
error.
Years and years and right. constantly trying and, you know, you take two steps forward and one step back, it seemed like, you know, and you're going to have those setbacks. You're going to have those things that are just so uphill battle, and that's a reality of the situation. But as long as you stay to it and you stay dedicated and stay committed to it, you can fight your way out of debt. And I think the first step of all of it, and I think we all kind of started with that first step, was the realization where we're at. And knowledge is power. You need to pay attention to your finances. You need to get the big picture of your money, where it's coming from and where it's going. You need to know that.
Yeah, you need to sit down and look at your spending habits.
Exactly. That was the whole incident that I have that spiraled everything else out of control was because I wasn't on top of my finances, because I didn't want to pay attention to my finances. If I had been there, if I had just looked at the darn thing, I would have known that they had changed the due date by 2 days. And who knows what could have happened, but I would have known that, and all the chaos and insanity that happened afterwards never would have happened if I had just been able to be on top of my finances and knew what was going on.
That's right. At that point, you're just so stressed out and overwhelmed, you don't want to open your mail. Oh, exactly. Ignorance is bliss, but, you know, for that short 30-second moment, you know, yeah. You get that mail. But really, that's what it's all about, is realizing your, you know, where you're at and where you can improve.
Okay, so that pretty much wraps up our three ways of how we got out of debt.
And then if you have any comments or questions, always you can go to ideas@personalfinancemastery.com. Once again, that's ideas@personalfinancemastery.com, and you can leave us any comment or question, and we'll do our best to answer anything you have.
Just send us an email, and for topic ideas, if you want to have a special thing that we want to cover on the show, just let us know. We're here to help you. We're here to be of service to you, and that really is our core mission, is to help you master your finances and live the lifestyle of your dreams. So
that's right, because if we did it, you can absolutely do it.
You can definitely do it. So just send us an email at ideas@personalfinancemastery.com. Until next time, I'm Peter.
I'm Darla.
And I'm Adam.
And thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Personal Finance Mastery Podcast. For more wealth-building tips and tools customized to fit your financial needs, go to personalfinancemastery.com.